Thank you. You may be seated. Choir, you may be seated as well. Good catch back here, Brother Buster. Probably could have done that without the plates, but if the deacons and the ushers started stuffing all the offering money in their pockets, it would have created room. So we don't want to do that. Thank you for that.
I just show you how much we've treated up to you.
Right? That's right, because Terry always put those plates right there after each service. And there's a lot we have to learn. This is not in your bulletin. I had asked the choir to prepare to sing it this morning. I really didn't know whether the Lord was going to continue to lay it on my heart to do it or not. So the choir is going to do a special for you now entitled In the Shelter of His Arms. We've had a busy week in this church. We had the Sunday for the Cure and the blood drive last Sunday. We had the annual meeting Tuesday night, had our Wednesday night prayer meeting, had the fall festival last night, and then of course church this morning. Just a lot going on this week. And during that time, as you saw in the bulletin, we welcomed our sixth grandchild in, and everybody's been congratulating me and Tammy, and trust me, we really didn't have anything to do with it. But regardless, it was a joyous occasion. Well, Tammy was at the hospital before I was, and I had already gotten a text from her earlier. The gentleman whose wife you have all been praying for that had been slipped into a diabetic coma a couple weeks ago, they had made a decision to take the respirator from her on Wednesday morning. We got the news of the baby, of the birth of the baby, and Tammy then contacted me, and as she was rejoicing in the presence of the newborn, she went down to the vending machine, and she saw this gentleman, her co-worker, and you can imagine the emotional things that he was going through, and spending 2 weeks at the hospital with his wife, and we talked later, and she said, how do I celebrate the birth of this new life when my friend is getting ready to say goodbye to his wife? The emotional roller coaster of that day was just incredible. And as I thought about that when I was at work, this phrase came to mind: when my soul was disturbed with sorrow. And my soul was disturbed with sorrow that day for this gentleman and for all the things that we have had to go through as a family and as a church family in the last month or so. The phrase just encapsulated it: disturbed with sorrow. Goes on to say, Jesus opened his arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. There's peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the time of the storm. There is peace, though the world be raging, in the shelter of his arms. And so I had asked Miss Maggie to get it in the binder, not realizing we didn't have it in our library back here. She graciously made copies and got it in there. And I told the choir Wednesday night, I said, I don't know if anybody else in the congregation needs to hear this song on Sunday morning, but I know two people who do. And you may not be singing to anybody but your choir director and his wife on this morning. But these words gave comfort to my heart during the last few days of this week. And so we want to share it with you this morning. And if you are truly going through a valley this morning, may you also take comfort in the shelter of his arms.
Jesus.
couple things that weren't quite on the calendar this morning, so we're going to skip the next song. I hate to use that word skip, but the Lord doesn't lead to sing it this morning. It just doesn't seem to fit where He is taking us. So go with me to our call to prayer, if you will, number 340. He hideth my soul. As always, the choir will be dismissed on the last verse. We'll ask you to stand on verse 4 and welcome them down and join us around the altar for prayer. As I mentioned, we've had a lot of trials in our congregation, but I shared a word of praise with the Sunday school class this morning. And Miss Erlene, you and I talked about this last Sunday, and I know you're going to enjoy this, but I must give God praise this morning because several weeks ago I asked you to pray for my dad. He had a pinched nerve in his back, and I think I might have already shared with some of you that it turned out to be nothing more than a strained muscle. And for those of you that don't know, my father is 88 years old, and we suspected that he got this pinched nerve because he was in the process of tearing down a garage. Well, he quit doing that for a couple weeks because there was pain and he didn't know what was going on. And when he went to the neurologist, the neurologist said, you know, it's just a pulled muscle, just do these exercises and you'll be fine. I talked to Mom this past week, and it took Dad less than 2 days to be back outside taking the walls off of the garage and taking the doors off of the garage and hauling it all down to the canal and stacking it up and burning it. And he did that every day. And yesterday or a couple of days ago, a friend came over and they tied ropes to the corners because all that was left was the wall studs and the roof. And Dad hooked it up to the back of his truck, out the driveway and went, and the roof comes down, and now he's got a stack laying there. And I asked Mom, I said, so now what? Well, now he tears the roof apart and burns it. So, you know, just praise God that Dad can continue to do that, as stubborn as he is. And we also ask your prayers for my wife, because when I'm 88 years old and doing that, she's probably going to be just like Mom is now. But just praise God that He has touched us. He hears our prayers, and He answers our prayers. And James tells us that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning with pure hearts, with humble hearts, with hearts of praise, knowing that when we send our requests to the Lord, He hears them. And He will answer. As we sing, number 340, He hideth my soul.
Thank you. you come forward so we can pray for you? Jerry has been diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis, and he's going to have to be on medication for a couple of years. The good news, I guess, is they said it's going to make him more irritable. So we're going to pray for Tammy. But I believe what the Bible says. I believe the Bible says that if we're sick, it says in James 5, call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will lift him up. If he's committed any sins, God will forgive that, and God will raise him up. So I'd like to ask the church to come forward, and all the who will come forward. And if you will receive anointing oil, if you get close enough for that, then we're going to anoint you. You can anoint him too. That's right. We're going to anoint him with oil in the name of Jesus. As we do this, the oil has no magical property, but obedience. And obedience is what God has us do. So as we anoint you with oil now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we call out to you now, Lord. We know that you are the God of all creation. And Lord God, you've given us decrees by which we're to live. You tell us in James, Lord, if there be any sick among you, and call for the elders of the church. You, Lord, you said the prayer of faith, when we anoint them with oil, we lift them up, that, Lord God, that their sins will be forgiven, and that, dear Jesus, their sicknesses will pass. Lord, I pray for my brother Jerry today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just heal his body. Lord, I know the doctors will give him medicine. I thank you for the doctors. I thank you for the medicines. But Lord God, these things have no power unless you enlist it. Lord God, I pray that you would let your fire run through his life. And Lord God, that you would heal him completely. And Lord God, I pray that you would restore him to health. I know we have sick in our church today, Lord. We pray for them as well, Lord. We lift them up. We pray, Lord God, that you'll give them better days. And Lord God, help us to continue to serve you. Lord God, that's why we're here on this earth, to glorify you. Every day is a gift from you. So heal my brother, Lord, I pray. Take away this fever. Take away this sickness. Restore him to full health. Bless his wife as she gathers around him, Lord, and lifts him up. Bless his family. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
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 Praise God. Thank you.
I love you, brother. Do I have any young people like to talk to me today? I don't know if we've got too many left. I got a couple of them. Well, hello. Yeah, I showed you this morning, didn't it? You want some oil? No? Well, we anointed with oil because the Bible said so. You know, a lot of things we don't understand that the Bible tells us to do, we do it because the Lord told us. When I was a little boy, I didn't always do what my mom or daddy told me. Y'all have that problem?
My mom wants me to get my ears pierced.
She does. Can I do it?
No.
No? Oh, my goodness.
Don't
put no holes in your body. Okay. Well, you know that. You know, your parents know well. They know what's best.
My granddad.
All right. And anyway, we sometimes we don't understand things, but we'll follow. You got a birthday tomorrow, don't you?
My brother.
Your brother? Oh, okay. It's Riley's birthday tomorrow. How old is he going to be? 3 years old. You still get along good with your brother? I know you love your brother. Well, I'm going to say a prayer for y'all, and then we'll give you a little something, and you can go to children's church if you want to.
Okay.
Are you going to be able to go to children's church? You don't want to? You want to stay up here? All right. He come up this morning whenever I was giving the invitation. He was just, he come up hugging me. I needed a hug. Could you tell that? All right. Father, I thank you for these precious children. And Jesus, I pray that you'll begin to speak to their hearts, and that when the time is right, that they'll receive you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for them, Lord, because they are so precious. I know, Lord, you made them to walk with you. We pray that will become the truth. Lord, as they go to children's church now, I pray that you'll bless them and keep them and help us to be the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming again. They are precious. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 19 today as we go through the book of Isaiah. And today we're going to talk about the burden of Egypt and the blessing of grace. Isaiah 19. If you have a bulletin, I hope you have a bulletin. If you don't, you raise your hand, we'll get one to you. But on the right-hand inside page of the bulletin is a responsive reading. And we will start out by reading the responsive reading. In responsive reading, the audience reads the bold-faced text, and I'll read the non-bold-faced text. Isaiah 19, I'll start at verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it.
In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts.
One shall be called the city of destruction.
In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord.
And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt.
For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, and a great one, and he shall deliver them.
And the Lord shall be known to Egypt.
And the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it.
And the Lord shall smite Egypt. He shall smite it and heal it.
And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them.
In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the
Assyrians shall come unto Egypt, and the Egyptian unto Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians.
In that day shall Israel be third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land.
Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance.
This is a wonderful prophecy of a coming day where Jesus will rule on the earth. And that day we call the millennial kingdom of Christ, where there'll be peace on the earth. You know, when people come close to the Lord, there's always peace when they gather underneath his wing. Somebody asked me one time, they said, why is it that bad things happen to nations? I think this text tells us why. It tells you in the middle of that text, verse number 22, the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite it and heal it, and they shall return even unto the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. You know, a lot of times trials come to us to make us realize how much we need God. You know, when our bellies are full and we're sitting around with the top button of our trousers unbuttoned and we've got a bank full of money and our health is great and everything's good, we don't think about God that much. But when the bad times come, it wakes us up. It makes us realize we need the Savior. We need God in our lives. Now, this text is a prophetic text about the coming of the millennial reign of Christ. But I also want you to see some points in this text today that relate to the giving of grace. You see, where grace is, God blesses. I think the reason our country has got so much trouble right now and so much turmoil is because people have gotten away from the Lord. Amen. And they've gotten away from grace. And grace is what we need. We need the grace that God only can give us. So I want y'all to look at this text, not just as a future text, but as something that God would like for every one of us. God wants us to come to him, not just to be in heaven one day, but so that we can bring heaven to this earth. When we come together in grace, God blesses us. So, point number one, when grace reigns, the hardest hearts and the coarsest tongues are changed. And we're going to see that first. Look at verse number 18. He says, in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt. I want y'all to think about Egypt. Egypt is not the first nation mentioned in the Bible. I looked that up and I wanted to know what was the first nation mentioned. You know the first nation mentioned was Assyria. The Bible calls it Havilah. It's in Genesis chapter 2. The second nation mentioned in the Bible is Ethiopia. The third nation mentioned in the Bible is Canaan, and then Assyria. But you don't see Egypt in the Bible come up to prominence until later on. But one thing you see about Egypt in the Bible is it was a pagan place where people did not worship God. If you remember the story of the Exodus, God raised up Moses, and he sent Moses to Egypt. He raised him up out of Egypt, and he went to the Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go so they can worship me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is this God? I don't know who this God is. I'm a God." You know, the Egyptians, they raised up gods, the Bible, the people said, out of their garden. They worshiped snakes and ants and bugs and flies and anything you can think of. Cats. Oh my goodness, you worship a cat, you got a problem. Amen.
Amen.
They worshiped everything you can think of. They worshiped dogs, they worshiped birds, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon. But they didn't worship the God of heaven. The Egyptian heart was a hardened heart. And they just didn't care for God. Even after 10 judgments against Egypt, they still had a hardened heart. And they chased Israel all the way to the Red Sea and had the audacity to try to go through the parted Red Seas, and God collapsed the seas on that army. You see, paganism and a heart far away from God, after a while, it gets kind of crazy. That's what the Egyptians were. And I think that's what we're seeing in our country today. But I want you to notice what he says about this. Where grace is, things are changed. He says, in that day in the land of Egypt, they shall speak the language of Canaan. The language of Canaan is the language of the promised land. And they shall swear to the Lord of hosts. They shall begin to speak to the God that they have turned away from. Where grace is, the heart is changed. I remember when I was a little boy, we didn't have a lot of money. But one thing I loved was you could find Coke bottles or Pepsi bottles and you could turn them in for money. Now I think it's a shame you can't do that anymore, don't y'all? I think we ought to go back to that, because I tell you, as a little boy, I earned more money walking up and down the road looking for bottles to turn in. And I would turn that in, and me and my buddies would gather all that stuff together. We'd turn that money in, then we'd go down to the golf course. Now I don't play golf. I'm one of them rarities. I'm a preacher that don't play golf. Y'all can go, I'm one of them. I don't play golf. But I always liked to hit them balls. There was just something about hitting the balls in the bucket. You could buy a bucket of balls for a quarter. And we would go trade all these bottles in, and we would go down to the golf course, and we would get a bucket of balls, and we would hit the ball. We would hit the balls and hit the balls. You could spend an hour hitting balls for a quarter, and that was fun. We tried to see who could get them farther out there. That was fun. One day, me and my buddies were standing out there just talking, and we were just hitting those balls. And a man, an older gentleman, walked up to us. And he said, "You boys need to mind your language." I said, "What?" He said, "Don't y'all know what you're saying?" Well, we were sitting there, and we were talking. And we were taking God's name in vain. We were speaking F words. We didn't know it. We were speaking the words of darkness. You see, when a lost person does that, they don't know that there is a God. See, if God saves you, he changes you from the inside out. And it was not until I was 17 years old that Jesus Christ touched my heart, that the Holy Spirit came inside of me and told me, "You ought not to take your Father's name in vain." Now when I hear people say that, I think, man, y'all ought not to speak like that. But you got to understand, when you're lost, you have one language. When you're saved, you have a different language. I can always tell if a person's lost or saved by what comes out of their mouth. When I walk around somebody and they just blood all over me. Y'all know what a blood is? You walk up to it, and blood. Somebody walked up to me one day, and I'd been to the barber, and the barber had cut around this little mole on my neck. Somebody walked up to me and they said, "Oh, I see you've got that on your neck. You know, that could be cancer." Blah. That's a blah thing. You walk around somebody that's always negative. Y'all know who that is? Can you think of anybody that's always negative? If you can't, somebody's thinking of you right now. Amen. They're always negative. The sun's out today. Yeah, but it's too hot. We got a beautiful rain hitting the ground. Yeah, but it gives me a cold. The weather's changing. It's nice to have a little cool. Yeah, but I don't like this cold weather. It makes my arthritis hurt. Negative, negative, negative. That's what you see. Listen, if when God changes you on the inside, He gives you a thankful heart. He gives you a loving heart. He changes you on the inside out. You know, I love Thanksgiving. I like turkey. Do y'all like turkey?
Amen.
There's a little thing that pops out on the turkey. You know what that is? That, I always go and look in the oven, and when that little thing pops out, I know we're going to have an eating meeting pretty soon. Amen. That means the turkey's done. If your tongue is popping out and bringing out ugly stuff in it, maybe you ain't done. Amen. God changes your tongue. He changes you from the inside out. And He makes you into what He wants you to be. Jesus Christ was an encourager. And everywhere Jesus went, He tried to lift up and to bless. That don't mean Jesus didn't speak against the evil that was in the world. And I think our tongue should speak against the evil. But I think we also need to give as a solution the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? You can't legislate morality. I'm going to sit still for a minute and look at y'all like y'all looking at me. We can't count on the government to legislate morality. You know where morality is set? It's set in the heart that's surrendered to Christ.
Amen.
When your heart, your soul is surrendered to Christ, God changes you from the inside out.
Amen.
And that's how the language of Canaan gets into you. The language of Canaan is love. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and tell him, I'm just so glad to see you. Would you tell him that? Just so glad to see you. Glad to have you here. It says in that day where grace is in the land of Egypt, they speak the language of Canaan and they swear to the God of hosts. They don't speak against the God of hosts, but they swear to Him. I want you to notice it says in verse 18, it says they swear to the Lord of hosts. You know something else that I've noticed in our country nowadays? Everybody's so fearful. Everybody is so fearful. But the Bible tells us that when God saves us, He blesses us and He reaches out to us. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Lord says, I'm going to put my hand over top of you. In Isaiah 51, 16, it says this. God says, I have put my words in your mouth and I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. I love that. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. When you're born again, when you've given your life to Jesus, God puts His hand over top of your life. He says, I cover you with the shadow of my hand. Let me tell y'all something. If you are born again and you love the Lord and God's in your life, God has got you covered. And nothing can come to you unless it comes between the fingers of the Almighty God. God sees everything that comes your way. God loves you and He protects you. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're walking around fearful and you're speaking fear, it's because you don't understand. God gave everything for you at the cross.
Amen.
Jesus gave everything for you at the cross.
Amen.
And He is certainly not going to abandon you as you go through this life.
Amen.
Heaven's not just for later, though I'm glad there's a later. Amen.
Amen.
But heaven is for right now too. God says, I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. God sent Jeremiah into a nation that wouldn't hear the preaching of the gospel. And in Jeremiah 1, God told him this. He said, the Lord put forth His hand. He touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set this day over you, you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. What God told Jeremiah was this, though you'll preach the gospel and maybe nobody's going to listen, when you're standing with me, you're standing with the majority. God is able. God is always able.
Amen.
Stand with God. Stand with God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the second thing we see in this text, where grace is, the Savior is. There's a change. Look at verse 19. In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. Listen to that. In a place where there was a worship of all these false gods, now in the middle of Egypt, there is going to be an altar built unto the Lord. God says, I will change things and I'll turn things around and they'll begin to worship me. And He said, in the midst of the land and a pillar in the border thereof to the Lord. But look what He says next in verse 20. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors. And He shall send them a Savior and a great one. And He shall deliver them. He said, I'm going to send a Savior and He's going to be a great one. Can I tell you this? If you're born again by faith in Christ, you have a great Savior.
Amen.
And I need a great Savior. Every time I start getting self-righteous, or am I the only one that does that? Y'all ever get self-righteous? You look at the darkness and the lost people and you start comparing them to this and that and the other thing. Sometimes I get all self-righteous on myself. And all of a sudden something will slip out or change. And I look at myself and I go, you know what? I'm not really where I need to be. I want to give y'all a secret. None of you are going to be where you need to be until you stand before the Jesus who made you.
Amen.
And when you stand before God in glory, when you stand before that Jesus in glory, if you've received Him as Lord and Savior, He's going to purge you all from all sin. But until the day that Jesus takes us into heaven, we are all sinners.
Amen.
The person sitting on the pew next to you is a sinner. And can I tell you this? You're just as big a sinner too.
Amen.
Amen. People, I heard somebody say one time they didn't want to go to church with the hypocrites. Well, I'd rather go to church with the hypocrites than go to hell with them, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Every one of us are sinners. And we have no right to be self-righteous or judgmental. The Bible says every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. And we do it every week.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I can't drive down the road without having trouble. I ain't never seen so many nuts. Are we importing nuts to Columbia? People trying to run one another over. People walking in front of you, texting. I see all this stuff. And it don't take very long before that old buffalo that's inside of me wants to rear back and stick out its horns. And all of a sudden, I have to look up and say, Father, forgive me. And He said, it's all right. I'm a great Savior.
Amen.
I'm not a little Savior. I'm not a pocket God. When I saved you, I knew you weren't perfect. Did y'all know that?
Amen.
Some of y'all out there looking astonished. Who, me? You weren't perfect when Jesus saved you. But if you've received Him, you've received a great Savior.
Amen.
And He's promised, I'm going to stay with you from now to tomorrow, to the next day, 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 to the day I receive you into glory.
Amen.
I'm going to stay with you. And you don't need to worry about that. You are my child, and one day we're going to see face to face. Oh, I can't hardly wait for that, can you? I can't hardly wait to see my Savior face to face. I heard somebody say one time that if a bus pulled up front, they'd get on it, but they didn't want to be the first in line. But can I tell you all this? I used to be afraid of dying. I'm not anymore. But even better, I used to be afraid of living, and I'm not afraid to live anymore. My Savior has saved me. My Jesus took all my sins. And my Jesus paid them in full.
Amen.
When He hung on that cross and He cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took every one of David's sins on Himself. And He took every one of your sins on Himself. And if you've received Him as Lord and Savior, then it's paid in full. It is finished. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. I want you to look at one other thing, too, in this text. Where grace is, there's a great Savior. But there's something else I want you to see in this text. Look down there in verses 19, chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. It says, in that day there should be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. There were never three more enemies than Assyria, Israel, and Egypt. They all hated one another. The Israelites hated the Egyptians because the Egyptians ruled them for 400 years. The Israelites hated the Assyrians because the Assyrians overthrew them. The Assyrians and the Egyptians, they fought for world domination. Yet in this text, we see them all come together under a great Savior. Can I tell you what happens when you get saved? God changes your heart and He takes the hatred out of it. And He puts love in it for every person. Jesus died on that cross for everybody. Did you know that Jesus was a Jew? I hear so much nonsense about racism today. I hear people talk about Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter and Polka Dot Lives Matter. And I hear all this nonsense. Can I tell you this? Every life matters, and the cross of Calvary proved it.
Amen.
He died on Calvary for everybody. And Jesus was a dark-skinned man. I don't care how many museums you went into. He was a white man. The Bible says he came unto the Jews first, and then he came unto us. And he died for every single person. If you've got a hatred in your heart because of their skin color, there's a problem in your life.
Amen.
I'll say that again. If you've got a hatred in your heart for someone because of their skin color, then you've got a problem in your life. Jesus died for everyone. And the Bible tells us that he loves everybody. My wife loves to feed the animals. I don't know how much money I put in feeding the animals every month. She feeds the birds. She feeds the squirrels. We got two groundhogs that look like real hogs. She feeds them too. People told me you can eat a groundhog, but not around my house. My wife loves the groundhogs. She'll get up in the morning, look out the window. She loves to feed them. And I like to look at the animals too. And have you noticed in nature that everything's not the same? You look out there, you'll see cardinals, you'll see robins, you'll see redbirds, you'll see crows, you'll see grackles. You'll see all different types of birds. You know what that tells me? My God loves variety. My God loves variety. I want you to look around the room right now, and if you see anybody else that looks exactly like you, you're looking in the mirror. Amen? Everybody's different. Everybody's got different attitudes. Everybody's got a different mindset. Everybody's got a different body. Some of y'all are handsome. Some of y'all wondered how you made it here today. Amen? But you're all different. That's the God that we worship. Our God is a God of diversity. Now, let me be real careful to make this statement. There is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. When I say diversity, I don't mean the nonsense that the world preaches today. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And if you want to get to the Father, you've got to do it through the Son. There is only one way that God has put forth to go into heaven. And the Bible tells us it is through the satisfactory payment that Jesus made. Nobody else. You said, oh, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings who believes in these other gods. I would rather hurt their feelings than they die and go to hell.
Amen.
I love them, and I want to see them in heaven. Don't you?
Amen.
Heaven is going to be a place, the Bible tells us in Revelation, where people of many tongues and nations and colors are going to come together, but they're all going to come together under the blood-soaked throne of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave himself for everybody. And let me tell you something. As Christians, we have no right to be racist or ugly. We need to be loving to everyone and tell them Jesus Christ died for you. That's the kind of Savior I love. Amen. We start excluding people from heaven based on whatever, then we might as well exclude ourselves. Jesus died for everybody. Let's say that together. Jesus died for everybody. And if somebody comes up to you and starts talking that racism stuff, y'all tell them about Jesus. Because they need Jesus too. These three enemies, they gather together, and it tells us that these three enemies, it says, in that day Israel shall be third with Egypt and with Assyria. And it says, a blessing in the midst of the land. And look at verse 25. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. What is Egypt a picture of? It is a picture of the Arabs, Arabia, the children of God through Ishmael. And then he says, and Assyria, the work of my hands. What is Assyria a picture of? The pagan peoples, the Gentiles. In other words, you and me, we're a picture of Assyria. He says, Assyria is the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance, his children through Isaac. And they all come together to follow Jesus. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Can I tell you this? If you want to be blessed, you have to give your soul to Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just a quick walk down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand. So I'd love to see you come down the aisle and shake my hand. But it's that you give your soul to Jesus. And when you give your soul to Jesus, Jesus will take your soul and he'll change it. If you're serious, he'll change it. And when he changes it, he'll make your life a whole lot better.
I have never known more joy, even in the midst of sorrow, than I do now through my Jesus. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Father, we thank you so much for this time we've been able to gather together. We thank you, Jesus, for the salvation we have in you. We thank you, Jesus, for every family that's here today. I thank you, Jesus, that, Lord God, you died for us. You shed your blood for us. Jesus, you came for the Jew first, but also for the Gentile. You came, Lord God, for the Egyptian as well as the Assyrian. And you gave yourself for us so that we would not have to worry. So that we would know that you would be with us. So we could come into your kingdom and live in that kingdom both now and forever. What a joy it is to know you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've been able to see your word. And Lord, I pray, if there's anyone who needs to receive you as Lord and Savior, let today be the day they say, yes, Jesus, I'll give you my soul. Lord, we adore you. In Christ's name we worship you. Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to number 288.
God will bless you as you go out. I pray as you sang that song, you sang it as a vow unto the Lord. Where you lead me, I'm going to follow. Now, share Jesus wherever you go this week. Tell them Jesus gave himself for everybody. We serve an awesome Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask my brother Buster if he would close us in prayer.
All the love that you deserve.